Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. That's Shocking Blue bringing this back there. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Bill Brandt is our guest, our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member. Bill, thanks again for being here. When we went to the break, I wanted you to be able to finish your thought on the Eurozone. You commented on. I've not heard you say that you were as worried about Europe as you indicated you might be before. And I'm feeling the same way. But to hear you say that. You're not a lot more knowledgeable about these things than I am. I've just got more instincts than anything, and anecdotal evidence. You've got your finger on the pulse. How bad do you think things are over there?
I don't think they're that bad. I think Germany is still a strong engine of growth and can carry a lot of the continent. I think that much like some of the state budgets we have in the U.S., France has to get its fiscal house in order, as does Britain. But, you know, you were saying that Putin has caused a lot of this. Actually, Putin is a great favor for Europe. What's going to cause cohesion in Europe is the realization of an external threat. Lithuania joining the euro, you know, getting the euro as currency just recently.
Right.
All of this is being driven by the threat of Putin, so he's done more for integration. Even Hungary, which, as we were discussing, which is going is kind of off on its own tangent, has reacted. And Putin has caused the party in power, Viktor Orban's Fidesz, to lose some authority. So Putin has done the U.S. a favor in Europe right now. The question is whether Europe can make it work as a result.
So here's the question for you. There's the lower oil prices, which are putting fiscal pressure on Europe. On Russia, on Putin. Is that going to make him more dangerous or less dangerous?
Probably more for the time being. You know, he was riding high and getting away with all of this, and things were good with the oil prices high. With oil prices low and some unrest, he'll probably have to act out a bit more in terms of trying to.
What would that look like, Estonia? Or what would it look like?
No, I think the Baltic states are fine. I think where he would go is there are portions of the Ukraine, especially in the western
portion.
He'd still
probably carve some of that off.
Well, there's a land bridge to the Crimea. He could get in western Ukraine, over by Romania. There's all kinds of other places he can go and cause some problems.
What makes
Azerbaijan and Armenia as well.
Is this a national? Do you think he represents Russians, or is this just him, longing for the old Soviet days? What do you think?
I think it's a bit. We had a concept in the United States back in the 19th century called Manifest Destiny. You remember
right,
from your history classes.
Of course,
This is just the Russian version of Manifest Destiny.
He thinks this. I see that. That makes a lot of sense.
And obviously, if you Manifest Destiny was a policy that most Americans utterly subscribe to,
right.
And I think you'll find that he's able to push that on the Russian population.
Let's stay in Europe now that we've come this far on this segment. Talk to us about what happened last week in France. Is this the shape of things to come? Are they going to clamp down on this? This was a boiling pot over there that was bound to bubble over eventually, wasn't it? The Islamists, the radical elements over there.
Well, Jim, the sheer number of returning Syrian fighters, not just Syria, but anywhere in the Middle East, and the free flow across the borders, the mere fact that the young lady who was the common law wife of this one terrorist could take a plane to. For those of you who haven't been to Istanbul, and I know that's most of you, Istanbul looks like Atlanta in terms of an airport. Yeah. Turkish Airlines runs a huge, huge international airport that rivals Emirates in Dubai or in Qatar in Doha, and you can arrive at that airport. It's like Atlanta, and you can slip across a border. And as long as that level of porousness exists both ways, you're going to have this problem. Now, I suspect what's going to happen in the near term is all of that is going to get tightened up from Turkey on through. This isn't in Turkey's interest either, and so I think you're going to begin to see a tightening of all of this. But this was to some extent bound to happen. But in the end, you know, we have serial and mass shootings in the U.S. every day, not driven, or every week,
right.
I should say, not driven by, you know, so there were a lot of people injured here, but it wasn't the Twin Towers in New York, and it is manageable, and looking at what happened in Belgium last night, they're on it, they're being more aggressive, and so expect more of the same for a couple of years.
Is this going, is the ultimate loser going to be the bad guys, or is free speech going to be the loser?
Sadly, we'll share the blame, just like in the U.S. with FISA and the privacy laws that somebody find, you know, offensive. I think that you're going to see a tightening up. I noticed that hate speech in France these days is now defined more broadly, and you know, it's
the Pope weighed in on it this week, too.
Yeah, you know, when the Pope says you shouldn't offend people because you can get shot, that's not exactly right. I mean, that sounds an awful lot like Saudi Arabia
that's
saying,
exactly
hey, don't
right.
blaspheme the prophet, you know.
That's
so,
right.
I wish he hadn't said that. Me too, but I think that the problem will be that the secularists are on the defensive a bit right now as we see how this plays out.
How do you think this is going to play out and affect the United States?
I think it's going to be largely centered in Europe. I think it's going to affect more the United States in terms of business. Your small business owners and the people who listen to you are probably going to see, sadly, as you and I both know, whenever there's trouble, there's more regulations. They seem to follow one after
that's
the
right.
other.
That's right.
So I assume that reporting, like the Patriot Act issues, I assume mm-hmm. that we're all in line for more reporting.
Yeah.
That's
the stealth tax for a small business, too, by the way. Bill, as you know.
It is. It's just the sheer amount of paperwork is a stealth tax
and
on everybody.
It's just an insidious stealth tax that actually amounts to more expense for a small business than the actual income tax that we pay. But I for one am glad oil prices are down. That's good news for everybody.
I think it's great for us. Just remember that the stealth tax is the Full Employment Act for lawyers and accountants.
Well, that's exactly right. Hold on to that thought. When we come back, I'm going to ask Bill if he was shocked. Well, Elizabeth Warren said she's not running for president. After these messages, Tim Tell, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.